Part 4, making choices. In the previous parts of this podcast, we looked at how you formulate the questions you need to ask about your future options and how to ensure that you can obtain information that is actually helpful in making decisions. In this final section, we will look at the decision itself, and in particular, how to avoid some of the common problems that lead people to make decisions they regret, or lead them to avoid making decisions altogether. One cause of decisions that people regret is where they allow one factor to dominate their decision-making. So you go for the option that gives you the best work-life balance, but end up getting frustrated by the lack of challenge. Or you pursue the path that provides you with the maximum autonomy, only to find that you miss the support of a more structured organizational environment. You follow the money and end up not having a life. This often happens when people are changing jobs or careers to get away from something. The thing you're trying to get away from dominates your decision-making disproportionately. To reduce the risk of this, make sure you're considering a range of factors and have thought about their relative importance by using the scaling mechanism we talked about earlier. What percentage impact should each factor have on your decision? Another cause of regrettable decisions is excessive risk or cost avoidance. There are no safe options in career choice, and it's best to assume that all options are equally risky. It's just that some options, the risk or the cost, is obvious or occurs upfront, and for other options, the risk is disguised or it happens later. To balance this natural risk aversion, one thing to do is to look for the hidden risks in what seem to be the safe options, but also to look for the risks that are there within other options and to think very concretely about how you might deal with those risks or reduce them. And it's always worth making sure that your perception of the downsides and the costs and the risks of a particular option are not distorted. And you can do this by talking to people who have made the transition and finding out what really is involved. Many other decision-making problems lead to immobility, which in turn can lead to desperate, impulsive decision-making. One trap that can lead to immobility is applying criteria inconsistently. So for example, I like option A because it has the best opportunities for development, but I like option B because your work has more direct impact. It's not surprising that it's hard to choose between those two options because you're using different measures to evaluate them. So one thing you could do is to evaluate all of your options against all of your criteria, taking into account how important each criteria is. Another immobilization trap is trying to find the perfect option. There is no perfect option. Accept that from the start and decide what things you can afford to be fussy about and what things you're prepared to compromise on. Even if you could find the perfect option, there is no guarantee it will stay perfect for long. On the flip side, a less than perfect option could be made more perfect over time if you work at it and are adaptable. The final immobilization trap is the fear of making the wrong decision. There are two ways to address this fear. The first is to be very clear about the point of no return. At what point in your pursuit of a particular career path does it become too costly or too difficult to change your mind and do something else? The second way of dealing with this is to engage in a bit of constructive pessimism. Think about all the things that could possibly go wrong with your option and work out what you would do if they did. That will at least make you feel equipped to deal with a possible less than perfect decision. As we said in the first part of this podcast, career decision making is complex. I don't think this podcast will address every concern you have, but you will probably increase your chances of making a good decision if you combine both systematic analytical thinking and listening to your gut instinct. The economist Daniel Kahneman's book, Thinking Fast and Slow, discusses these two decision-making processes and their pros and cons. The slow analytical process works best if you give it time and structure, and also if you use some kind of external mechanism for recording things down, so even if it just means writing things down on a piece of paper. The fast instinctive process works best if you give it lots of experiences and lots of stories to compare. Hopefully this podcast has given you some ideas of how to do both of those things.